AI adoption has become a competitive necessity. Over 65% of executives consider AI critical for competitive advantage.
The productivity improvements within every single department are just huge.
Ever since I launched AIBO back in 1996, when I first showed AIBO in Manchester at the Trafford shopping center, actually the biggest shopping center in Europe, I had this chap who jumped on AIBO and ripped his head off, saying, "I don't want robots and AI to replace me." I had to call Japan saying, "Can you please send me another one?"
It isn't just limited to CEOs, right? This is how CEOs are encouraging other people also within their enterprises to use AI for productivity. There are companies that are reducing headcount due to the use of AI.
Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
How top CEOs use AI for productivity leadership right now. This is a huge topic, but one that is actually very, very interesting. And I'm joined by Nicholas Babin, EU Digital Ambassador and ex-head of Sony Europe for AI and robotics. He's been in AI and robotics since before many people were born. And this man here launched the first sat-nav in England. People called it the talking car. He also launched a book called The Talking Dog, which was after his experience with launching the first AI robot in Europe. In fact, which was AIBO, which was something that would read your emails, et cetera, et cetera. And that was 20 plus years ago now. So it's a massive topic, this one, Nicholas. Where do you want to start, really?
Well, I'd like to start by the fact that there's a shift happening now. Top CEOs are changing about AI, and it's changing their mindset. And it's, I mean, I will include productivity and leadership in it, but I think there's a good understanding. There's the fact that it's happening now because I can see that there's an acceleration of tangible results with AI. At the beginning, and I've seen this, as you mentioned, gracefully, that I've been with AI for quite a long time. I've seen it that CEOs were very cautious initially because AI was seen as experimental. The number of times I've heard CEOs telling me, one day we'll see. But as of now, it's not happening. You know, it's again, in the last 20, well, OpenAI started about less than 3 years ago. So 26 years ago, when I started to talk about AI, nobody believed in it. But now with Gen AI being a very small part of AI, but at least being something that the public has picked up on. So Gen AI, predictive analytics, automation, we deliver measurable ROI thanks to AI, and we're talking about weeks rather than years that we've seen before. And so today, leaders can't ignore it. So there's a shift happening now, but there's also another shift that I see with some of my clients that there's a lot of pressure from boards, investors, and competitors because AI adoption has become a competitive necessity. And I had read, I think it was last week or the week before, a report from McKinsey that showed that over 65% of executives consider AI critical for competitive advantage, compared to 20% in 2020, and we're talking about like 1% before 2020. So that's another thing. So you have the acceleration of tangible results, you have the pressure from boards. And also, I mean, I'm going to put my hat of digital EU ambassador here. You have the regulation. There's a clarity in terms of regulation. So, for example, the EU AI Act and similar frameworks in other regions, I'm talking about the US and others, have reduced the uncertainty that we used to live in, giving the CEOs basically a clear compliance roadmap. So based on this, they see AI as a personal productivity tool for themselves. It's like they're using AI as a cognitive assistant, if I could mention it. They summarize reports. AI summarizes reports for them. It prepares board decks. It drafts strategy briefs. I had read an interview from Satya Nadella, you know, the Microsoft CEO, that had publicly shared how he used Copilot to accelerate decision prep by digesting complex reports in minutes instead of hours. And when you're a CEO, obviously, you know that time is of the essence. And so that was really interesting. So they realized that using AI for productivity leadership, it frees them more time on high value leadership that basically is needed from them, like the vision, like the culture, like the stakeholder engagement. So that basically is something that's happening now. And I find it quite interesting to see that because they are picking up on it, then all the teams below them, if I can, below is not derogative in any way, shape, or form. But what I'm saying is, like, people working with them realize that actually they do need to change, and that's why it's happening as we speak.
Yeah, I mean it's absolutely massive. I mean, look, I just got the MIT Technology Review that just arrived in my mailbox. They felt, unfortunately, my postbox isn't good, so I had to unfold it, right? But it says, are we ready for AI agents, right? I mean, the thing is, AI agents, you can call them AI agents, but agents in terms of chatbots is a separate thing. An AI agent is not an AI chatbot. It could be an AI chatbot, but it's not. An AI agent is something that can do specific tasks that you can just bolt. You can bolt together with your existing workflows, right? So it could be a calendar scheduler that then plugs into a chatbot. It could be, there can be so many of these that it can just be quite insane. I mean, for example, say you're the CEO or board member, and you have many different roles in many organizations. You could have an AI agent that would summarize your report immediately without you even having to upload the report. It would come to your email box, and then your AI agent would then summarize it and send you an email saying, this is the report you just received. These are the key financials that are there, et cetera, et cetera. And if you want to read it, you can, but it's going to take you 20 minutes because it's 50 pages, et cetera. And actually, you probably don't need to, because this is just the executive summary information that we know you read every time you get a report. So as one example, right? So the productivity improvements, as we've been talking about, within every single department are just huge. In particular, innovation. We've got an innovation interview coming along with a specialist in innovation in the next... I may have just actually streamed that by the time this becomes live. But, you know, when you look back here at this image on my wall over the other side here, this was created by AI. This was in Wimbledon. I don't know exactly the year. I would say it's...
How many years ago? It was...
2018. So in 2018... Wimbledon created an image, IBM created an image that is a tennis court, but it isn't actually a picture. It's actually, I think, 1,800 or 1,200 pictures. And now we've accelerated to the stage of being able to create imagery very quickly. So many things can be done now that, you know, every day there's something new, right? I mean, it's quite bizarre.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's exactly to my point. As I said, you know, reports that, and as you just mentioned, reports, complex reports that would take hours, like literally like half a day or whatever to read. Now it's done in minutes. And we're talking also about using AI for smarter decision-making, for example. You can rely, if you're CEO, you can rely on AI-driven real-time dashboards that will basically aggregate market, operational, financial, human resources type of data. So you're basically, your leadership will be shifting from like reactive to proactive, because you'll be able to identify risk, competitive threats, opportunities before they before your quarterly reviews and before even they could appear. So I've seen, like, as you probably know, I was a co-founder of a company in retail business, like tea, coffee, and chocolate. We were roasting beans, and it was a very successful one of my venture that was extremely successful. And with maxicoffee.com. And so basically, we started to use AI-powered demand forecasting, especially because of green beans being made, you know, out of Africa and countries where it was never very clear. So we had AI-powered demand forecasting to adapt supply chain instantly. And so we were able to reduce waste, reduce cost, and adapt our price, which was, you know, a fantastic example. Which is a fantastic example of how AI-driven data can help any CEOs to optimize their leadership skills.
100%. So in terms of AI for productivity leadership right now, it isn't just limited to CEOs, right? This is how CEOs are encouraging other people also within their enterprises to use AI for productivity. And that goes across the entire business landscape, right? From marketers to comms professionals to supply chain, you know. But these things are not new. It's just that there are more companies that actually want to use them right now. Is that fair to say?
That's very fair to say. And to your point, you find it anywhere within the company. You find it in sales, you find it in marketing, you find it in finance, HR, leadership, obviously, supply chain, anywhere. I mean, in communication, for example, as you know, it's a little bit of my background because I was head of communication for Sony Europe for many years. I see more and more head of communications tailor their own communication for different audiences using AI, leveraging AI-driven data so you can change and tailor your communication for employees, investors, customers, anything basically. You can help stimulate, if I can say stimulate, stakeholder reactions to some strategic moves, which will allow you to redefine your messages for clarity and impact. I mean, it's anywhere basically. You can, it's unbelievable where, you know, coming from the CEO, obviously, will help because then people it will be like the example that you want to follow if your CEO is using AI for all this. However, you know, I've seen many companies where actually heads of departments were starting to use AI-driven algorithms or data, and the CEO is thinking, well, why not me? why are my teams using them? And I'm not yet. And so it's a two-way street, and that's why it's really nice to see how it can work. But to your point, absolutely everybody within a company today, there's not an area where AI cannot be used, and that's why it's unbelievable. It's everybody saving time, is you know, optimizing their productivity, and it's augmenting human capacity to work in various environments, which is something we are not used to, basically. And that's why, you know, it's a change of mindset, basically.
Yeah. It's absolutely huge, really. But, you know, obviously there are companies that are reducing headcount due to the use of AI. But I do think that there are many, many opportunities out there to change jobs, to move into being more involved with AI. There are masses and masses of jobs from what I've been seeing out there. And it really can be such a great tool for productivity in many ways. What sort of things are you seeing that are really quite exciting for you in that department right now, Nick?
To me, I think you just touched on it. It's the human factor. That's really, really exciting. It's because, you know, ever since I launched AIBO back in 1996, when I first showed AIBO in Manchester at the Trafford Shopping Center, actually, the biggest shopping center in Europe, I had this chap who jumped on Aibo and ripped his head off, saying, "I don't want robots and AI to replace me."
No way.
And so I've been extremely careful about this. I mean, it's a true story, which was, you know, at the time, Aibo cost like about $3,000, $4,000. It was a prototype. I had to call Japan saying, "Can you please send me another one? Because my Aibo has been killed." So this human factor is actually extremely important. And I think that's the most exciting point here, is because I think CEOs and head of departments have realized now that AI is not just about replacing jobs. It's about augmenting human capabilities, as I mentioned just before. So all leaders that I see embracing AI most effectively are the ones who align AI with the company's mission, values, and culture. And that's why it's so important. It's frankly, I would like to push it to say that AI literacy is now becoming a C-suite skill, where CEOs are getting personally involved, but also where you see CTOs, CDOs, CMOs, CSOs, all the C-levels using it. And that's why it's so interesting. You know, I have seen hype cycles before, obviously. I'm not a young rabbit anymore, as you would translate it from the French expression. So I've seen hype cycles. In 1999, when we launched Aibo, it was full of promise, but it definitely lacked maturity, lacked technology compared to what we have today. But what we have today is not only about the technology, but it's about the CEO mindset. They really see AI not as an experiment anymore, but as a strategic necessity. And all these C-level guys, ladies, they are definitely leading from the front. It's basically, I would like to say that AI has crossed from potential to proven, even though we're not there yet. So I'm being very careful about what I'm saying here. But we're basically, we've moved from technical curiosity to strategic imperative. And to me, those who embrace it responsibly, and that's why, again, you know, I mentioned before about the regulation and all this, but the ones who embrace AI responsibly will shape, in my mind, the next decade of business. And that's really what we see. And that's what excites me the most. You know, we see it in organizational productivity, culture. It's removing friction so employees can focus on innovation, customer experience, growth. I mean, it's all this to me is really the exciting part of using AI today.
Yeah, I agree. I think the human element is fantastically interesting. When you look back at the sort of gadgets, the kind of gadgets that we had 3, 4, 5 years ago in terms of communications and how they sort of progressed and then became something that is actually crucially important to communicating within businesses, because now we can actually understand way more about how people like to be communicated to, in what ways they like to receive information, and then we can tailor that information excuse me, very quickly. But also we make the decision as to how that actually is sent. I mean, look, I just wrote a part of a report on the AI Act the past few days. Yeah, thank you. But the thing is that it took ages. It literally took hours, yeah, because that's what I do. Like, I write, yeah? So it took hours. Sure, I got AI to write me some stuff, but I wasn't happy with it at all, yeah? And it was really useful to actually summarize, because I'm in the process of writing something else for these guys. And it was really useful to have AI to summarize the report that they sent me so that I could actually write something which was valuable to put inside the report. Because reading these reports, 30-page report, unless you have to, and it's not something that you really need to do, I don't think. unless you're actually within that particular department that you know means that you're in the legal department or you're the CEO, you don't need to go into that and read that report from start to finish because it's frankly not a good use of your time. However, the message that you want to get across based upon your expertise and experience and knowledge has to be extremely high quality and backed up by things that you know, instead of taking a report, writing something using AI and then pushing go, which is like suicide. Yeah, it's like suicide because someone's going to come and ask you all sorts of questions. And then if you don't know anything about what you've just written about, you're in probably some deep trouble, in my personal opinion, because it's going to cost you time and effort working out what you're going to actually say to the person.
Yes, absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's the difference between using AI as a reactive tool, basically, and using AI in a strategic ways to make you, you know, save time, but also make you optimize your productivity. And that's really is the difference between people who are the new experts, as I would call, because suddenly, you know, it's so frustrating for me. I have to be completely transparent on this. For 26 years, I've been preaching about AI. For 26 years, people have been like, yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. One day. And, you know, and I've never called myself an expert because I'm not. But
I call you an expert.
Well, now you have experts everywhere about AI. And actually, what you realize that experts or they have know-how in a tool, which is great. But basically, what's behind the tool and what makes the tool so special, you have very few people who understand. You know, so it's again, LLMs are a part of AI, but it's nothing compared to NLPs. It's nothing compared to the machine intelligence. I mean, there's so many layers of AI that needs to be taken care of and needs to be understood in order to really fully understand AI. And that's why it's you know, I think it's important today that at least you start somewhere and you can start with these LLMs and the GPTs and GPT-4 for ChatGPT, Copilot, Gemini, Claude. There's so many of them today. And this will help understand the place of AI because their AI needs to have a place within the human centricity world. And I'm saying that because it's so important to understand that everything has to be human-centric. Human has to be the final decision for everything. Look, if I take another example of another AI, is image recognition, which is another different type of model that we use in healthcare. So in healthcare, especially in imagery, we have built databases with billions of images. And so today, an algorithms for healthcare is capable of recognizing a tumor less than 2 millimeter in terms of size. And a human eye cannot see anything below 2 millimeters, right? So you're finding yourself with databases that have been built and trained and that are helping a doctor to be more productive because he's going to see faster and he's going to see something that his own eyes can't see, but that the algorithm is telling him, hang on, there is something there. But it's going to be so small, it's going to be taken so early on that the doctor can make the right decision and cure, or at least you know, help with the cure of the patient. And this is essential. If, you know, because sometimes also you and I'll talk about another example in a minute, but sometimes, you know, you feel that you have your own gut feeling like you've been a doctor for 40 years and then you have an algorithm telling you something. So you have to combine both information in order to be able to give the patient the best care. But again, who makes the final decision? It's a doctor. And lately I was at the Imola Grand Prix for Formula One, and I asked all the drivers, Charles Leclerc, Lewis Hamilton, all of them, I asked them, you know, what do you do? You've been in, especially like Lewis, you've been in this business. You've been world champion for 7 years, so seven times. How do you feel when AI is telling you or data is telling you that this is going to happen and your gut feeling is not? And he said, well, it's about 60-40%. You know, 60% my gut feeling, 40% comes from data. And my gut feeling could change based on the data because I could think, oh, wow, right. The weather is like this. The tires are in that, you know, that shape. Whatever, I've been turning for like 10 rounds and my tires are a bit tired, blah, blah, blah. So all this information basically need to be combined for humans. And who's going to make the final decision but the driver, right? Because he's behind the wheel. He's the guy who's going to say, I can pass now, I cannot. I have to brake. I have to be careful because I could go off track. All these things. And so, you know, in all these examples, yes, Gen AI is definitely very interesting. But AI as a whole basically gives the humans the final decision. And this is what's so important. I talked about human factors earlier. This is essential. It's to me, all this that we've been discussing for years, you and I, because I remember there was an IBM project you and I did called A Journey to AI. And that was like 10 years ago, probably. And remember, 10 years ago, I was probably the only one who could talk about it because nobody else knew about AI at that time. But that journey to AI is exactly where we are today. You know, we're continuing on this journey. But please, let's not forget, and I'm talking about to the CEOs, to the C-level execs here, do not forget the human factor, because it will be a disaster for your company. It will be a disaster for humanity as well if you don't let human centricity being at the core of everything.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And I think also that, you know, that comes down to the leadership as well, right? Like in a massive way. And what I mean by that is, if, for example, you've got one tool that you're using within the business that is really helping a specific department in a specific way, that department should be sharing what it's doing with that tool with the other departments. So then you can actually roll that out within the rest of the business. Otherwise, you're just creating a silo of a speedy productivity loop, which just exists in that particular silo instead of the whole business, right? So, I mean, I think there's so much that can be done with this. But, you know, it is definitely all about being human. And it's about continuing to have your eyes open, to see what's out there, to monitor the competition, obviously, with one eye over there, maybe check that out, but also to actually run reports. I mean, some of the reports that I've been running using Gemini is unbelievable, the amount of information, any topic that you want to learn about. And as a CEO, right, you should be encouraging your team members to go and create reports. It takes 10 minutes, sometimes half an hour to run a report. But that report contains so much information, you can get to the bottom of any specific topic in the world right now within an hour. You will know more than 98% of people within 1 hour of that specific topic. So you don't need to be a specialist anymore. You can be a generalist. You can actually be that person that has a little bit of knowledge around everything. Doesn't mean you have to actually go into that specific role, but it means you understand how to run those people and how to communicate with them better, right? In my opinion. Well, I'm shaking my head because it's always a meeting of the minds, Nicholas. I always enjoy talking with you, and we wouldn't do it otherwise, would we? At the end of the day, No. It was a long time ago, before I went grey, I think, probably. But if you are watching this and you want to get to grips with what we're doing over at Monday Influencer, go to mondayinfluencer.com. There's a $1 trial on that. And you can go and check that out. And if you haven't subscribed yet to the YouTube channel or the podcast show, you need to do that, because we're really creating lots of amazing content. And we're also giving 20% of revenues to children's charities as well. So thank you very much for listening. And do let us know if you're listening to this also, and you've done all of those things and you've signed up to Monday Influencer and you've subscribed to the channel, let us know what your opinions are. We'd love to hear about it.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.